yum nub. Eat out the yum nub. The tomato chicken.
Hello and welcome to Yipcast, your Star Wars cartoon podcast. My name is Jamie and I'm no soldier. I'm no clone, not like these two.
And my name is Matt. We're not in trouble. They want us to fight more? Huh. Maybe this Empire thing's not so bad after all. Cool. I tried to do it in the Bradley Baker voice.
Yeah.
But that was a Wrecker from Episode 1, Season 1 of Bad Batch.
Yeah. He's a very talented actor. Did you see there's like a little video of him and I think the actress who plays Omega, they're playing with action figures?
Yeah, I did see that.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. No, he's very talented. We're actually going to talk a little bit about him because he plays an extra role in these episodes that you might not have picked up on.
Yeah.
Stop eating bread, you fat pig.
No, I won't stop eating bread.
Sensual boy by Klaus. Smell it.
It's such a departure because for anyone who doesn't watch, he plays as a fish with an East German's brain, a goldfish with an East German's brain, and he's just really funny because he's awful and stupid and talks in a really bad German accent. And okay, well, I'm doing exactly what we said we're not going to do.
Right, you gotta rein it in. Okay, so we're off of Clone Wars. We just released, so at the time of this release, last week we released our summary of Season 1 of Clone Wars, where we had Brown Leader from Hyperspace Heroes on with us. That show is in your pod feeds. But now we're transitioning away from Clone Wars because Bad Batch has come out. And even though this is coming out after Episode 4 comes out, because Episode 4 actually, at the time of this recording, comes out, I think, in 6 hours.
Yeah.
Something like that. At the time of this recording, so we're doing this Tuesday night in a weird time for us. But we haven't reviewed any of the first three episodes yet. And so we're going to sit down today and we discussed this as a team and decided that these are three episodes that go together very well. We're going to try to power through and do a review of all three. Which means we're going to not banter for 20 minutes about Sylvester Stallone. Or
no, or, not just Sylvester Stallone, Cobra.
We're not going to talk about Cobra. We're not going to go through Burt Reynolds' IMDb page. We're not going to do any of that stuff. We're not going to talk about Alien. Nothing. We're not going to talk about the Garbage Pail Kids. We're not going to review a random trailer from some terrible movie that we haven't seen in 30 years. I know that's why people tune in. But today, we're going to launch right in to reviews of the first three episodes of Season 3, Bad Batch, starting with Confined. Before we jump in, do you have anything you want to say to start out?
No, I'm excited to. I'm excited to get into this.
All right, let's get going. All right, so normally we start this out by talking about the cast and crew, but I sort of put them in the trivia section for this sort of walk and talk through the first three episodes. And so I think we're just going to do it in the trivia. We're just going to get right into the plot. So the first episode is Season 1, Episode 1. Its original air date was February 21st, 2024. So on this recording time, 6 days ago. So the show opens up on a shuttle on approach to Waylon, the planet with Mount Tantus on it. There's a bunch of electrical storms happening. The shuttle calls in reports that visibility is limited, and they get clearance for landing. A lightning bolt hits the shuttle, and they're going down. The shuttle crashes in the forest in the rain. The stormtroopers open up the shuttle to step out. They try to raise the base, but they can't get through at first. They discuss their situation and say they have to get going because there are monsters in the forest, and they will not likely make it to the mountain on foot. In Mount Tantus, Hemlock shows up, because this guy's everywhere. He sort of has a specter quality to him where he just shows up. wherever the action's happening. It makes Tantus seem very small to me, but or maybe it's just meant to make Hemlock be really intimidating.
No, there are people that just have that ability to just be right where you don't want them.
Yeah, be there and be like, what's going on?
Yeah, just like there's somebody at everybody's job that you're just like, you're trying to get away from, and then all of a sudden they're just like, oh, okay, I guess you can come to lunch too.
Yeah, that's him. So he's immediately in this comms, this like air traffic control tower for some reason, because you know the boss always checks out the air traffic control tower, and he says, why hasn't the shuttle arrived yet? The control tower crew says that they crashed in Sector 4. They should and asked if they should send a rescue crew. The channel's open now, and Hemlock says that there's no point, and the control tower can hear yelling and blasting. He says Hemlock says if they're outside the perimeter, they're as good as dead. So they're just establishing that it'd be dangerous in those woods. Emery, somewhere else in the base, Emery comes to see Omega, asks how she's doing. Omega says she's a prisoner. Emery says that she is safer inside the mountain than outside. She and Omega leave and walk through the halls. Omega sees a drowsy-looking Crosshair walking with some commandos and other clones. Emery takes Omega to a lab where they're drawing blood from clone troopers. Emery tells Omega that she needs to take a blood sample from Omega. Sorry. Omega asks why, and Emery says that blood is used in a battery of experiments and it will not hurt. Omega allows the sample to be drawn. Omega doesn't have a lot of agency. This whole episode, this whole first episode is sort of shot almost in a Groundhog Day style repetition. She's basically living the same day over and over again, and there's only like small details that change.
It's Groundhog Day.
It's still just once a year, isn't it?
And later when I was writing the notes, I made her day, the beats of her day just be like a couple of words. Like, goes to lab, scans in, hands off blood, right? Goes to the kennel. It's just the same routine over and over and over again. We'll talk about how long she's been there, too, because you can figure it out. Omega asks Emery, if she was a clone, why didn't she know her when they were all on Kamino? Emery says that she was somewhere else, has been working for Hemlock for a while. Omega says she didn't know she had a sister, and it's nice to not be alone. Emery tells Omega to take the samples to Nala Se in the lab. She goes into a lab guarded by commandos with a tray of blood samples. She is scanned as she enters. Inside, Nala Se is loading blood samples into a machine with a droid. The machine sort of looks like a clock.
Yeah. This comes into play. It's almost like it. Not almost. It is. It's a plot device that looks like a clock that they use to mark time. It's great.
It's wonderful design. It also legitimately looks like a piece of lab equipment. Like you would absolutely see something like this in a lab. But it's great how they use it in the show. All right, Nala Se thanks Omega for the new samples. She scans them and sees that there's a sample for Omega. Nala Se asks Omega about the sample, and Omega tells Nala Se that Emery said it was routine. Nala Se immediately destroys the sample and tells Omega not to tell anyone. Omega asks if the research they're doing is the same as Kamino. Nala Se says, no, it's different. Like, they're all sort of realizing the situation they're in. They're all sort of trapped in this Groundhog Day-like experience.
Yeah.
Nala Se says that they're trying to reproduce an imp count in a clone, but the research is not going well. And Nala Se tells Omega to see to her remaining tasks.
Yeah, so... are we all in agreement that M count is just midichlorians? They just are trying to steer clear of actually saying midichlorians.
Yeah. So M count, it's in the trivia for this episode at the end of the notes here, but M count was first used by Pershing in chapter 12 of Mandalorian, and this is obviously midichlorian count. At least I think so, and you think so. And yeah, they're just trying to avoid the, I heard you talk about midichlorians. What's a midichlorian? Sort of.
Master, sir, I heard Yoda talking about midichlorians. I've been wondering, what are midichlorians?
Ancient race of, oh wait, no, that's.
Yeah. It's a powerhouse of the cell. No, yeah. That's a mitochondria. All right. And we won't get into any. Well, we won't get into science tangent. I won't explain what a mitochondria actually is.
Yes,
but and in a different episode, I will.
Yeah, and I've always said that they could easily. If that's kind of cringe, the midichlorian is kind of like they're steering clear from it. Steering clear from it, they could always just say, hey, there could just be a throwaway line. Hey, remember when we used to think that midichlorian count had to do with your ability in the Force? The same way that you look at phrenology like head, and people used to think that you could determine your characteristics by your skull shape.
Yeah, you would say that. You have the brain pan of a stagecoach tilter.
Oh,
trying to discredit phrenology on our show.
Bro, and cranial bump into the career criminal.
Sir, phrenology was dismissed as quackery 160 years ago.
Of course you'd say that. You have the brain pan of a stagecoach tilter.
All right. Hemlock and Nala Say are in the lab, and they leave together. The machine continues to work on the samples. It's literally just this automated clock-like machine that we described. Omega leaves as well. Nala Say is led into a secure area guarded by commandos and ray shields. Hemlock leads her deeper into the facility. We don't get to see what this is yet. Mm-hmm. Cut to Omega. She's in some sort of kennel with a droid and a bunch of these dog-like creatures in cages. And these dogs, I didn't put it in the notes, but they are called
Lurker Hounds.
Lurker Hounds. And I refer to them as hounds or dogs throughout the notes, so just sort of ignore that.
Yeah.
The droid hits a button on a console, and one of the dogs comes in from the forest to a pen. Omega puts a scrap of something in her toolbox when the droid wasn't looking. Omega comes up to this new dog, and she calls him Batcher. Batcher is refusing to eat the food, so Omega offers him some of her food. I think it's a her, actually. Offers her some of her food. The dog attempts to bite Omega, but Omega jumps back. Batcher eats the food, and Omega promises more tomorrow.
Yeah, this is totally my old dog. Like, she could not be motivated by any dog treats, but people food? Oh, yeah. No problemo.
Chicken nuggies, please.
Yes.
All right, so Omega leaves the kennel and is walking through an area that appears to be some sort of, like, prison or has a bunch of confinement areas. She comes up to Crosshair's cell. Crosshair tells her to go away. Omega says they need a plan to escape. Crosshair says that he's already tried. There is no escape. Omega says maybe Emery will help them. Crosshair says not all clones are her friend. She should be less trusting. Omega immediately flips this on Crosshair and says he should be more trusting. Crosshair says that Omega will just make everything worse. She says she will still work on the plan, and she leaves. I imagine this conversation happens a lot.
Yeah. And it's very similar to Luke's banter with the Emperor, where he says your faith in your friends is your weakness. Or, wait, scratch that. Luke says your arrogance is your weakness, and then he's like right back with your faith in your friends are yours.
Your faith in your friends is yours.
That's a good call. That is, I didn't think of that connection. There's a connection to another scene in Star Wars with Crosshair in a little bit, but I did not make that connection. That is a great call. All right, so back in her quarters, Omega takes the scraps out of her toolbox and assembles a doll. This resembles the doll she had on the ship. I think the doll on the ship is called Lola or something. She also marks time on the wall of her quarters and looks out onto the forest. Back in the lab, more blood samples are being analyzed, so it cuts back to this clock machine.
Yeah, it's something I didn't notice, but when they do the five ticks, the fifth one goes from top right down to bottom left. Is that a Star Wars thing?
I've seen people do that.
Okay.
But you're right. It is like stylistically how she's doing it. But you normally do top left to bottom right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a normal person.
Yeah, like a sane human. Like, yes. A psychopath.
Yeah.
All right. The next morning, Omega wakes up and looks at the tick marks on the wall. And then looks out the window. At this point, there are about 150 tick marks, although there's an exact count. Apparently, I looked it up. 150 tick marks on the wall, so she's been there for at least 150 days at this point. Omega hides her doll in her tool box before Emery comes to get her. Like before, they walk through the halls. She sees Crosshair, takes a blood sample. She takes the samples to Nala Se. She is scanned. Nala Se destroys Omega's sample. More blood is analyzed. She goes to feed the dogs. This is her day. And this day has apparently repeated itself for 6 months.
Yeah.
And so this is their grind.
Yeah, and she's got longer hair. She's got like a little, I'm going to say a ponytail, but a little, I guess, the beginnings of a ponytail.
Yeah, so the passage of time here is when she goes to bed that night, there's 20-something tick marks on the wall. And when she wakes up, there's 160 of them.
Yeah.
And so we sort of smash cut 140 days into the future.
Yeah.
Omega.
Yeah, I wanna mention the good use of just kind of like how bleak it is and the drip of the faucet.
Yeah, so the director talked a lot about his cinematography in this episode. And there's a scene where Omega's talking with Crosshair and there's a shadow of Crosshair's, I don't want to say bars, but like window. The pattern of his window is like projected on Omega's face and it looks like she has the same bullseye tattoo that he has for a minute.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he plays with a lot of light and shadow. He wanted this to look very like brutalist, like that German architectural style from like their fascist days. Right? It's yeah. Just like everything is just brutal. Everything is just like stark, muted colors, bright lights, terrible. And it's just like that. It's very harshly designed. But yeah, I love the shadow and light and cinematography of this whole thing. Right, she goes to feed the dogs. In the kennel, she is feeding the dogs and notices that Batcher is injured. There's a cut on his leg. Omega calls the droid that sort of monitors the kennel to report the injury. And the droid tells her if the dog doesn't get better, they will terminate him, her. He is not a medical droid. Omega cleans the wound. Batcher lets her clean the wound. She tells Crosshair about the dog at her daily forced conversation with Crosshair. He's a captive audience. Crosshair is annoyed about the dog story, and he asks, what is her primary objective? Omega tells him that escape is their primary objective. And Crosshair says to stop wasting her time on lost causes like Crosshair or this hound. If he had a chance to escape, he would leave her behind. Omega doesn't believe him.
Yeah.
This is Crosshair pushing Omega away.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, 140 days have passed and we haven't seen what happens. We just assume that this is just happening every day.
Yeah. Yeah. She's either wearing him down or that his last mission with dealing with, can't think of what was the name of the clone he becomes friends with.
Oh, the guy on the ice planet?
Yeah.
Shoot. I gotta look it up now. Is it Mayday?
Yeah, I think Mayday. Like, after dealing with Mayday, he's kind of coming out of his... he's starting to kind of wake up to what's going on. And he feels remorse for what he's done. But at the same time, though, he's not like... He's also drilling her in his own way. And maybe that's a way just to get her to leave. But he's just like, what's your main objective? Like, he's not just like, get out of here. He's like, what's your main objective? Like, if you're one of us, you have to, like, you've got a mission. What's your mission? Don't deviate from the mission.
I was right. It was Mayday. But yes, he is there. I'm sure after 140 days of Omega coming to his cell, this is something he's beginning he's like, to expect.
Yeah, he's like, Ned Ryerson?
Phil Connors, I thought that was you.
Rita, this is Ned Ryerson. He's my new insurance agent.
I'll say.
Bing!
But this is something he's coming to expect. And his give and take with her is he's trying to keep her on task. Like you said, he's drilling her, saying, like, you have to be looking for your opportunity. And you can't stop because I wouldn't stop. All right, so as Omega leaves this day, Crosshair stops her and says, don't waste time, don't waste her energy on him. He belongs here. Omega says none of them belong here. This is such an important line. It shows Crosshair's state of mind. He's not only defeated, he's, like, depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's borderline, like, suicidal at this point. because he thinks that all the shit he's done, he deserves to be punished in this manner. This is some sort of penance he has to pay. Back in the lab, more blood is being analyzed. This clock is always running for them. Next morning, Emery conducts a surprise inspection of Omega's quarters. The troopers find the doll she made out of straw. And Emery says personal items are forbidden. Emery will dispose of it. Omega's day starts over. Like all days, she walks through the corridors to the lab, etc.
Yeah, that's a mistake that probably most people in corrections would tell you. Like you can't completely lock them down so much, or else you're just courting trouble.
Right, because then they have nothing to lose, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, there's nothing stopping them from fighting back.
Yeah.
All right, so in the lab, Nala Se is with Hemlock. She says the Emperor should be pleased with the most recent transfer. Hemlock says the M count was reduced. If they cannot create a clone with an equal M count as the donor, it is still a failure. Hemlock says if Nala Se doesn't make progress, he will have to rethink how much freedom Omega has. This is also his management style.
Yeah, he's a real prick. And the donor, who's the donor?
It's a good question. We can speculate about that in a minute, I think. Because I think when we get a little bit later, I've got a lot of questions about what exactly they're attempting at this point. We know what their goal is, but what are they attempting right now? All right, so in the kennel, Batcher is doing better and happy to see Omega. The droid tells Omega that the Hound is scheduled for termination because she's inadvertently domesticated him over the past 6 months, and now he's too friendly to be useful as a guard dog. Omega doesn't like this, and she grabs the control pad from the droid. The droid calls for security, and Omega drops a crate on him and sort of crushes this droid. His upper body is still sticking out from the crate. She picks up its sort of shock rod or shocking staff and electrocutes the droid, killing it or deactivating it. I really like this a lot.
Yeah, me too. And then just the scene of her, she's like, come on, get. Like,
it's the end of Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah, it's like, I never liked you anyways. Go. Just to get Batcher to go before it's too late.
Yeah, so Hemlock shows up once again in the kennel right when this happens and tells Omega that releasing Batcher back in the wild is the same as killing the dog. Hemlock tells her that the creatures in the forest will now kill the dog, and the dog is domesticated, so it can't fight back. Omega says that Batcher has the right to freedom and a chance to survive. Hemlock then threatens Omega. Omega sort of laughs in his face and says that Hemlock needs Nala Se, and if he hurts her, Nala Se won't work for him.
Yeah. And I want to say that he actually calls Omega cruel. This is something that abusers do, is that they will turn something that you did that was good into something bad. You know, like, oh, I can't believe you're so cruel. That like, no, she's helping the dog escape because you're going to kill it.
Like, what's better, a guaranteed execution or a chance?
Yeah.
A chance, obviously. But you're right. This is absolutely just abuser behavior. I'd be like, I can't believe you would have told that woman that story about like whatever abuse, because that really upset her. Sort of things. Like, no, the problem is the abuse, not the story about the abuse. All right. Omega says that Nala Se won't work for him if he hurts her. So Hemlock says he won't hurt Omega, but he can hurt Crosshair if she gets out of line again.
Yeah. And he says that he had something planned for Crosshair, but he's willing to make that sacrifice.
Yeah, so Omega better not step out of line again. He orders Omega to return to her quarters and have her access restricted. Omega shows up in Omega's quarters. Emery shows up in Omega's quarters. Omega tells her to go without looking at her. Emery leaves the straw doll on the floor for Omega. And then Omega looks out the window and she hears Batcher howling. That is the end of episode one. Called Confined. How do you want to do these? Do you want to talk about each episode, whether we liked it or not, or do you want to do the whole thing?
We can just say a few words about it and then move on to the next.
Sure. I do have a couple of pieces of trivia I didn't hit on. I did talk about that Dr. Pershing uses the word M count in Chapter 12 of Mandalorian for the first time, and they're using it here. that the montage is 143 days long. So she goes through that loop 143 times, at least.
Now she knows how to play the piano.
Yep, she can play the piano and she can speak French.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I studied 19th century French poetry.
La fille qui j'aimera sera comme bon vin, qui sait bon fiera un peu chaque matin.
You speak French.
Omega's uniform. She's wearing like this gray uniform. The insignia on the sleeve is the same insignia that the clones were wearing in Attack of the Clones, like the little kid clones when they're in like the school. So they're still using the Kaminoan insignia. We see the same insignia on Pershing later. And Dee Bradley Baker does the voice of Batcher, the dog.
A man of many talents.
Man of many talents. In the conversation, one of the conversations between Crosshair and Omega, when Crosshair gets frustrated, he calls her Omega. And this is the first time that Crosshair uses Omega's name in conversation with her. Previously, he calls her the kid.
Oh, I never caught that. That's a good sign.
Yeah, it's a very subtle sign that Crosshair is thawing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That he, like, she is, their Groundhog Day antics, she is wearing him down. So that's the trivia for the episode. I think we just discussed that we were going to talk about these briefly each time, so first impressions, and did you like it? Just real quick, and then we'll move on to part two.
Bleak episode, but I liked it a lot.
Talk about a scene setter, right?
Yeah.
It's like we have to establish the tone for the episode, for this season. Get in this ball kicking machine.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like you see like the all the like, I'm not sure if it's this one or the third one where they shows like a clone getting blood taken or something. And maybe it was just me the way it was drawn, but his skin looked darker.
Oh, interesting. Like maybe stylistically they're hueing them darker.
Yeah, or maybe it was just supposed to be shadow or whatever, but he definitely looked darker than normal.
Yeah, it's supposed to be sort of noir-ish, and so there could be just a lot more shadows in there. I'm with you, though. I think it's a very bleak episode, but it sort of shows us what's coming, right? Like, you put us in a bad place and then take us to a good place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's start there.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just makes like whatever bad thing happens to Hemlock that much more, it'll be make it that much more satisfying. And
I'm hoping he gets eaten by a Zillow beast, but yeah. We'll see.
And then also with Emery, you're just kind of like, not sure what to make about her.
Right. So we see Crosshair softening and we see Emery suffering or softening to Omega. Right. So she's getting like, her giving back the doll, I think, was supposed to telegraph like how guilty she feels about what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And how she can like Omega's there as sort of like everybody's moral center. And it's hard to ignore how shitty you're being when there's like a little girl saying like, stop being so shitty.
Yeah.
To all the time, and you're like, oh god, like who invited Pollyanna, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's her role, right? She's sitting there telling everybody like, stop being so shitty, and everyone's like, she's sort of right.
Yeah. And she has a last name too. It's like Carr, and she's like, she's yeah, referred to as Dr. Carr.
Yeah, her name is Emery Carr. No relation to Jimmy Carr, thankfully.
I don't know who that is.
He's a shitty British comedian.
Okay.
You'd recognize him if you saw him, but it's a testament to you that you don't know his name. All right.
If it's not Downton Abbey, I don't know it.
Well, yeah. I'm sure he has strong opinions about Downton Abbey, but...
Oh boy. Okay.
Anyway, he's just like a shitty British male comedian. I'm sure everybody loves him. So I love him as much as you do, dear listener. All right, we can't get bogged down in it. We can have a bigger discussion at the end, depending on how long the record is. But do you want to start Paths Unknown?
Yeah.
got to get my money's worth out of that sound. Sorry.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
All right. You know my opinion about those, and you didn't play the one I hated, so everything's fine.
My fountain's full. Okay.
All right. Paths Unknown, season 3, episode 2. Take it away.
Okay, so the show opens up on Deveronia. A man in a helmet is standing on a plasma platform in front of Roland Durand and his mother, Issa?
Is how they pronounce it.
The accused captain says that the syndicate has grown weak under her leadership. She asks who agrees. There's a bunch of people, many onlookers, but they're like, yeah, we're not going to actually agree. Like, I can't think of how many times that I've been like in a group and like confronting somebody about like, come on, this is, what you're doing is crazy. And then everybody else is like, I don't want a part of this. And you're like, God damn it. So now I look like the asshole.
Yeah. Thanks, Jamie. Thanks for ruining the party, Jamie.
Yeah. But so this guy is like some, I guess some sort of like guard or part of their military. It's a very cool design. Like His horns are sticking out of the helmet. She hits a button and he falls to his death. She asks who's next. Hunter and Wrecker walk in with a pike and binders. Durant says that they would be dead if her Sutton didn't insist on allowing them to speak. Hunter tosses Roland his severed horn. This is actually kind of cool that he's got like, he's a Deveronian. Deveronians kind of like,
look like devils.
They look like devils, and he's got like one horn missing. So,
well, that's a callback to the episode where he takes them hostage in Sid's parlor because they steal like the spice and they go on the underground rail car chase. Remember that episode?
Mm-hmm.
And the Pikes cut off his horn in that episode to humiliate him. I think this is like sort of their equivalent of like cutting off your testicle.
Yeah. Hunter tosses Roland his severed horn, tells Issa Durant that she wanted the pike that disrespected her family, and they delivered him to her. She asks them why they needed the data they requested in trade. The pike is led away. Hunter says that they need to know where Hemlock is operating. For a minute there, she's kind of like hovering over, her hands kind of hovering on the button, but then she hits another button and extends a bridge, and Hunter approaches Roland. He gives them a data card with the whereabouts of Hemlock's lab. Issa threatens them again, and they leave.
Did you recognize the actress or the actor who plays Issa Durant?
I read it that it was somebody that I would know, but I forgot who it is.
It's Angelica Houston or Morticia Adams.
Cool.
Yeah, so this is not her first Star Wars credit, because she also played the Banshee in season 2 of Visions with the Irish one about called Screecher's Reach. I don't know if you watched all of them, but she was the Sith at the end of that one that takes the girl away.
A lot of them I fell asleep.
Yeah, we'll get through them one day, but
we'll do them. Yeah. So on the Marauder, Hunter is checking the coordinates of the lab. Wrecker comes to Hunter and says that Echo and Rex need 2 rotations before they can meet at the coordinates. Hunter says that that's too long. They will go without them. Wrecker says the last time that they stormed into an Imperial compound unprepared, not all of them made it out. Hunter says that they're not going to make a wait. And they land on a jungle planet. Did you notice that they had text glasses?
Oh, I missed that. When did they have that?
When Hunter is sitting down at the station, to the like what would be his left, like on some sort of cabinet or something, you just see a pair of glasses.
Totally missed that. What do you think about this dynamic in between Hunter and Wrecker at this point? I think Wrecker's being very reasonable, and Hunter's like, no, fuck you, we're going.
No,
it just doesn't seem fair.
Yeah, he's. I think with Hunter, he's so used to winning that he doesn't know how to handle losing. So they lost tech and they lost Omega, and you can't get tech back, but they can get Omega back. And he's just like, he's just grasping for a W.
That's a good read. I just felt bad for Wrecker. It just feels like the power imbalance in this quote-unquote team of two is 90% Hunter.
Yeah.
Wrecker's like, we should wait for help. And Hunter's like, no.
Yeah, he's kind of just the pack mule, which kind of, he's always been the muscle. But it really kind of shows that how little of a say he has.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It sucks because I think waiting 2 days to go on this crazy mission is not that big of a ask to double your forces, maybe more. Anyway, let's keep going.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that, yep, they show text glasses, and it one of them has a broken lens. So they got it off of a text body. Unless they pull some weird Star Wars stuff, he's dead.
We'll get there.
Got it. Okay. So they land on the Juggling planet. Wrecker says that the planet smells. Hunter says that there's nothing on the scanners. The Empire might be jamming their sensors. Hunter advances to a ridge and finds a large Imperial facility that was bombed from orbit. The place is abandoned. I like the look of this place. It looks like something out of like Indiana Jones or something. It's just the jungle's overtaken it. It's just a wreck.
Good call.
So Wrecker is worried that means that Omega is dead. Hunter says that they don't know, and they proceed to the base to investigate. As they get closer, they are ambushed by some teenagers, and then it becomes apparent that they're actually Regs. Because they kind of are in a bit of a standoff. Wrecker's like, blaster beats stick any time. And Hunter's like Wrecker, they're Regs.
Did you recognize these as clones?
No, not right away.
I did. Like, I was so excited when I was like, holy shit, these are teenage clones. Like, they nailed it, I think. That's great that we had different reactions. But the second they were on screen, I was like, holy shit, are these going to be clones? I was so happy.
Yeah, it's cool to show that, like, what happened to the younger ones. Because they did show younger ones in season two as Kamino was being evacuated, let's just say.
Yeah, they were being led away and being told that they're going to training. And these must be either that group or a very similar one.
Yeah, because there had to have been a ton of cadets who were led away. So Hunter and Wrecker remove their helmets and tell the kids that they're clones. The kids recognize them as defective clones. They call them 99s. And Wrecker says, defective and effective.
I almost used that as my quote today, but I decided I don't use quotes from the episodes where you review.
Yeah. And no way to talk about your dick. Hey, yo. I can
yikes.
Cut that.
Nope.
Okay. Oh boy. Okay. I've drawn the simulated Ewok sex was bad, and now I had to bring a dick joke into it. I'm scum. Okay.
Pretty much.
Hey, you didn't have to agree.
I was agreeing with the defective, but effective.
I'll take your word for that. Okay. So the kids say that they escaped the lab during the bombardment, and they've been fighting to stay alive ever since. Hunter asked the boys if they ever saw a female clone in the lab when it was up and running. The boy says they don't recall anyone like that, but another clone named Mox might. The boys tell Hunter and Wrecker to follow their footsteps and to not touch the vines. So it's kind of cool that they already have names, like when during like the rookies Clone Wars episode, they didn't have names, or they're trying to figure out their nicknames. So I wonder if it's something that just happens naturally. Some get named right away, or maybe it was something that just slowly started happening and they all started just taking names, and then the kids were like, oh, we can do that, and they start giving themselves nicknames too.
Yeah, these are Deke and Stack. That's the two kids' names, and the third one we're going to meet in a second is Mox. So Yeah, maybe they named themselves after they escaped. I don't know.
Yeah, possibly.
We don't know their story at all.
I'm trying to think of... oh, I just need to... The names sound familiar. Because I thought that maybe they're like hockey terms, because like Deke is a hockey term. But I've never heard Mox or Stack before. So the boys tell Hunter and Wrecker to follow their footsteps, but to not touch the vines. So originally, like, they don't, like, is it Mox that doesn't want to go? But the others are like...
No, it's not Mox doesn't want to go. I think it's Deke that says he doesn't want to go. It's one of the other two.
So they worked their way through the jungle. The kids told them about the testing facility, but they didn't know the purpose of the testing. Wrecker touches a vine, and a huge plant attacks the group of clones. One of the boys tells them to run and to not attack the plant, otherwise it will get worse. Wrecker gets wrapped up, and Hunter cuts him out, and it retreats. The kids say that these are slither vines, a weapon made by the Empire, but they lost control of it. So at the clones' hideout, we meet they hadn't gotten to the clone yet. To the base yet. So they meet a new clone named Mox. Hunter gives Mox the summary of Omega. Mox tells the story of their escape. Hunter says that they will take them with them, but they need information on how to find Omega. One of the boys says that there is a council that was intact after the bombardment, but it doesn't work since there's no power. The boys argue about the dangers, but one agrees to take the Bad Batch to the council. First, they have to get to the ship and get Gonki to power the console. So they didn't really say that they're going to get Gonki. He's like, they just said, okay, well, we can handle that. And like, and I was thinking like, oh, they're going to get Gonki. And hey, I was right.
Yeah, I love when Gonki shows up. He's such a cool detail that has been a big part of the continuity. Can we talk about these clones for a second?
Yeah.
Do you know who plays Mox?
Yeah, it's Daniel Logan. Right.
Daniel Logan, yep, and the other two are played by a different actor named Julian Dennison. He's a Australian actor, New Zealand actor, and he played Rusty in Deadpool 2, and he also starred in a Taika Waititi movie called Hunt for the Wilder People. So he's a relatively popular actor from New Zealand.
Which one was Rusty?
I'll drop it in the chat.
Was Rusty the kid that he was helping? He's the kind of the fat kid that he was helping.
Yeah, did you look it up?
Yeah, I think he's in like he was also in like the sequel to that Kurt Russell Santa Claus movie.
I can look him up because I did not look up his IMDb.
Yeah, slacking. So
I did a lot. So I did a lot today for this last 3 days for this.
No.
Unlikely.
But all right. Well, while you do that, I'll keep talking.
Christmas Chronicles Part 2.
Yeah.
Correct. So shitty Christmas movie starring Kurt Douglas.
Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell. Same thing. I don't know why I said Kurt Douglas. Kurt Russell, you win trivia points for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was in that, and he's in a couple things coming up too.
Yeah, he's an actor I wouldn't mind seeing in Star Wars.
Yeah, like he's in it.
Yeah,
he plays his two clones.
sure. Okay.
Oh, are you talking about Kurt Russell?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. We've talked about that before too.
Yeah.
Escape from Tatooine.
Yeah. So on the walk to the ship, the boy says that they were abandoned by their clone troopers. He says they have defected, but at least they were loyal. And the boy's impressed with the ship. Wrecker comes out with Gonki strapped to his back. And the kid put a breathing mask on, and the Bad Batch continue to the base, and there's slither vines everywhere. These breathing masks are cooler, much cooler than the ones that Han had in the Millennium Falcon in Empire Strikes Back, which were just like repurposed hospital breathing masks.
Yeah, whatever they're called, like the cannulas or whatever. Han probably bought them at a military surplus store. They're just old.
Yeah. Hunter asks how far the council is, and there's vines everywhere. The kids say that the vines are thicker now than before. All of a sudden, they're attacked by the vines. It's dark, and the boy is grabbed. Hunter cuts the boy out of the vines, but the severed vines become fast-running plants with sharp thorns that jump like facehuggers.
This really reminded me of Alien. I know I said we weren't going to talk about Alien, but
like, yeah,
they did it, not me.
Yeah. Know? Well, yeah, I actually wanted to talk about this whole slither vine thing, but I'm just going to wait.
You're going to use the word Drengear in a second?
No, I hadn't even thought of that. That's great.
But yeah, there's a couple parallels. We can talk about them in a little bit, though.
Okay. So back at the clone hideout, the remaining two clones put together a plan to steal the Marauder. Mox is convinced by the other clone that they need to take control of the ship in order to prevent slither vines from getting it. They head off to get to the ship. In the base, they reach the center, and there's a pool of liquid in the middle, and the console is on the far side of the liquid. Wrecker moves some debris off the console, and it falls into the water. Gonki's hooked up to the console, and it powers on. Hunter starts downloading data from the console. Hunter says something's coming towards them, and the boys take over downloading the information. So this plays very much like a level in a video game where like you have to do a task and you have to wait for it to complete. But in the meantime, like you're stuck, and then there's just the game will just throw like really tough enemies at you.
Oh, it is very much like stand here while this while the health bar in this thing gets to full. In the meantime, shoot these vines.
Yeah. So from the pit, huge vines shoot up and start attacking them. Hunter and Wrecker try to hold them off with blasters. Now at the ship, Mox and the other kid hotwire the ship to get inside. Mox says he can fly the ship and get them off planet. So I'm assuming he was in the pilot training program, not like a regular trooper program. And they explore the ship.
I think he even says that. He says like I was topping my flight class or something to mm-hmm. that effect.
Yeah. So back at the base, they're in trouble. They have the data. Wrecker grabs Gonki and they start to run. The kid slips and Wrecker grabs him. They're cornered. The vines are surrounding them. Above, they see the Marauder pulling in. Hunter and Wrecker hold off the vines while the kids on the ship lower the cables. So the vines are wrapping around the ship and they can't escape. A large sarlacc-like plant emerges from a pool of liquid. They shoot the mouth and drop a thermal detonator into the mouth, but it does very little. Wrecker tells the boys to drop a case of explosives in the mouth. They take the case, drop it, and like tons of thermal detonators fall out. And then one of the boys arms a thermal detonator and drops it in, and it just kind of like goes in kind of like a like something kind of circling the drain. Just it kind of like it doesn't go directly in. It kind of goes bops off to the side and then goes in, and then huge explosion.
Very satisfying moment.
Yeah. Then it let goes, and they make it on board, and they jump into hyperspace. Now, in the cockpit, the three boys are reliving their victory with Wrecker. Hunter is in the back going over the data. Hunter reports that the information shows that Hemlock moved his lab. They have a lot of space to search. Hunter says he'll drop them off at a planet where they can make a new path with some good people. And Hunter says their mission isn't over yet. So I wanted to mention that the thing that kind of like the, I guess the main body of like the slither vine, it reminded me of a combination of like you said, like the Sarlacc, this thing in Halo called the Gravemind, which is like, which also reminded me of that, which like how it was like, there's like the little plants, like in the game Halo, spoiler alert for a game that's been out forever, there's like these little parasites that attach to people and then it turns them into flood, this thing called the flood, and they eventually like form this huge thing called a grave mine, which looks like a big Audrey 2. And so it was like a combination of the Sarlacc, the grave mind, and the creature in the lake in front of the Mines of Moria.
Oh right, yeah. I didn't think of the Lord of the Rings reference, but yes.
And probably something else that I can't think of. But it was a very cool design.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved this sort of, we talk a lot about Star Wars versus nature, quote unquote nature in this case. But it's definitely a theme in Star Wars to like oh, now the heroes have to fight like a Rancor or a Sarlacc or a giant plant beast or a Zillow beast, right? This is one of those classic enemies. It's their kaiju, right? It's the unthinking, unfeeling wrath of nature that's coming after you. But I liked that it was sort of looked like a Sarlacc. Since I was keyed into Star Wars and I'm doing some High Republic stuff right now, I was like, oh, sweet, Drengear. Not quite, but it was made me feel think about them. You know, and yeah, I loved it. I love this one. Do you want to do the trivia real quick and then talk about whether we liked it?
Yeah, all right. So the planet, they see the old lab is on a planet called Citron. A vine planet. Mox is voiced by Daniel Logan, while the other two clones are voiced by Julian Dennison, who played Rusty in Deadpool 2. And then he is also in the Taika Waititi movie called The Hunt for the Wilder People, as you said before. Let's go over again. And the last one is like when they land on Cetron, Wrecker says it smells like rotten Zotag. Zotag is the beast you battle on Zepho in Jedi Fallen Order. Really?
Yeah, it's a big bipedal thing.
Wow, it's been a while since I played that game.
Sorry, Jotaz. He says it smells like a rotten Jotaz, so my dyslexia got the better of me there. Here's a link.
Ah, okay.
My bad.
Good-looking creature there. Yeah, so what'd you think of this one?
So I like the construct, right? Because when at the end of Season 2, everyone's split up, and so we get an Omega Crosshair episode with Emery and Hemlock. And then we get a little bit more of a classic Bad Batch episode with Hunter and Wrecker. Hunter and Wrecker aren't in the first episode, and Omega and Crosshair aren't in the second episode. So I like it. I like that construct. As far as the plot of this episode, it's about as good as a reintroduction to these characters as we can get. Hunter is laser-focused on the objective, get Omega. But they find these clones, and they're taking them to Pabu.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we didn't put it in the notes, but and they didn't say it in the show, but that is very obvious what Hunter's plan is for these kids.
Yeah,
he's like, we're gonna take you to this island. You can figure out what to do after that.
Yeah,
right.
Because the whole data thing actually seems more kind of like a MacGuffin, because they don't really get anything that they didn't already know.
So they get a region of space. That's the only thing that the data tells them, is basically like they moved the lab to this sector. But Hunter says, like, we've got a lot of space to cover because we have no idea how big the region of space is that they're looking through. But they've narrowed their search, right? If you care enough, you're going to figure out a way to figure it out, right? And mm-hmm. He cares enough. And so we just have to wait for him to sort of figure it all out. And he's sort of on this path now, this obsessive compulsive path where he won't stop until he has her safe. It's a really good episode, in my opinion. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was good. I liked. I think I liked the most was bringing in the younger clone cadets, who were just they were just abandoned, and they escaped. Well, however many others didn't, because you have to imagine there was a bunch of kids,
yeah.
But only the three of them decided that. Fuck this, we're getting out of here.
Yeah, and that's tragic and terrible in and of itself, but it's also like good for these kids, right? And I loved the end of this episode too, where the three of them, where Hunter's like looking at the data on the card, and the three of them are in the cockpit with Wrecker, and they're all smiling, like high-fiving each other, because there was a scene earlier where they're like, we were soldiers and we didn't get to do that. Right? Mm-hmm. We thought we were sent off for additional training, and we became lab rats. And so they're really trying to like reestablish their own identity. And Hunter's like we're gonna like you don't have to do this. We have to do this because our mission's not over. But you don't have to do this anymore. You can be safe. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna take you to hang out with Wanda Sykes.
Yeah.
It's gonna be great. It's gonna be great for everybody.
Yeah.
We can actually talk about what that means if Hunter is returning to Pabu regularly after the summary of the next episode, because I have thoughts.
Okay.
Do you want to move on to Shadows?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, season 3, episode 3. This is the final one we're covering this week. So we'll get through it. Shadows of Tantus. The show opens up on Tantus at night, or slash morning. Omega's in her quarters looking at the doll. Imri shows up and welcomes Omega to start her day of work. She's led through the halls and sees clones being led somewhere. There's a clone in a dark uniform standing near an elevator. There's a large number of commando troopers in the hall. Omega asks Imri why there's additional troops. Imri does not know. Imri then takes a sample of Omega's blood. So this is sort of like Groundhog Day, except things are changing.
Mm-hmm.
There's extra troops around. Nala Say and Hemlock come into the lab when Imri is taking the sample from Omega. Hemlock says that an unexpected guest is arriving and that he and Nala Say will be busy with the guest. Imri is supposed to test the samples that day, not Nala Say. Nala Say says, no, that's okay, she'll test them later. Hemlock says, no, Imri can test the samples. Imri's qualified to test the samples. While this is happening, Nala Say goes over to a console where Omega near Omega and tells Omega that if her sample is tested, Omega will be in danger. Omega must destroy the sample and escape. Nala Say tells Omega to steal the pad, steal like Nala Say's control pad from the lab, and escape any way she can.
Yeah, it's shown in, we didn't talk about it a lot, but in the first episode, it's shown that pads are like, they have like these iPad sort of things that they're just like, they're used to control everything, and you put them in like docks to do certain work.
Yeah, like they're like hung on walls, like sort of like a clipboard would be in a lab, or like a chart would be for a patient. But yeah, they're like keys to everything. They're like, this is clearly part of their security system. All right, so Omega walks through the corridors until she's scanned into the lab where Nala Say's pad is. Imri is there with the analyzer loading the blood samples into the clock. Imri asks if Omega needs anything. Omega asks Imri about the guest, and Imri says it's best to not ask questions. Imri thinks Omega's not feeling well and asks her to go rest in her quarters. Omega says okay and then steals the control pad when she leaves. As she's doing this, Imri loads Omega's sample into the analyzer. Imri loads Omega's sample into the analyzer. This, like we described in the past, this analyzer is like a big clock, and so there might be 20 samples in it, and just sort of rotates around, processing one at a time.
Yeah, I counted it's 10.
Okay.
10. It works great because it very like when it's done, it like makes like a buzzing noise, and then it ratchets. So it's a very, very effective way to kind of like mark time.
Yeah. So Omega, the bottom line is Omega failed to destroy her sample and it's loaded in the machine. So whatever Nala Say was afraid of, it's going to happen based on this clock machine, right? When it ticks over to Omega sample, whatever Nala Say has been hiding for this 6 months, is going to be revealed. All right, so a shuttle appears in orbit and is escorted to Mount Tantus by a group of B-Wings. Hemlock and Nala Say, along with commando troopers, greet Emperor Palpatine and the Royal Guards on the platform. Palpatine wants to see the progress they have made. I love this.
Yeah.
What did you think about this arrival?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't expecting Palpatine right away, but as soon as they said an unexpected visitor, I was like, oh, it's Palpatine.
Yeah, once they introduced the idea that there's someone coming, I was like, oh, it's got to be Palpatine. But I was so over the moon happy to see him.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Omega's sneaking around with this iPad now, and she sort of kicks a mouse droid to prevent him from getting on an elevator. I just like this scene. It's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, and I want to say the use of music and just like... Omega's like facial expressions really kind of like ratchet the tension up because she's just because it's just like it's pretty much like a jailbreak, and it really builds the tension that she's just constantly looking around, making sure nobody's like watching her, and just kind of doing her own thing. And then the kicking the mouse droid out kind of adds a little bit of levity, and it's kind of it made me think of the last episode of The Mandalorian Season 3, where, like, mouse droids have always been kind of just in the background, but, like a bunch of them with, like...
Oh, were the alarms going off?
Yeah. So it was just... it's kind of neat to see them taking a little bit more of a active role. There are people acknowledging that they exist.
Yeah, I like the scene a lot. It is comedy, and I didn't think of the... Was it R5-D4 that gets surrounded by them or something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that scene. All right, so she goes to Crosshair's cell. He once again is annoyed, or feigns annoyance, that she came to see him. She tells him that she's escaping. Crosshair says that she doesn't have a plan, and she tells him, don't worry about my plan, just distract the guards. Annoyed, Crosshair calls the guards over and tells them to unlock the cell. The stormtrooper is confused and mocks Crosshair. Crosshair also says, give me your blaster.
You will remove these restraints and leave this cell with the door open.
I will remove these restraints and leave the cell with the door open.
And you'll drop your weapon?
And I'll drop my weapon.
Omega opens the cell from the control panel that the stormtrooper abandoned to go over talk to Crosshair, and Crosshair overwhelms the stormtrooper and takes their weapons.
Yeah.
So now he and Omega are free in the compound, and they both are armed with rifles.
Yeah, but... and I want to... Two things stuck out to me. That one, like stormtroopers, and we saw this in the first season, that like clones look down upon. They're just seen as just I don't want to say people are racist against them, but they're just looked down upon as just like robots or droids or something. You know,
they're definitely not respected, right? And the guy says something like, oh, this clone thinks he outranks me, or something.
Yeah,
to that effect.
And the fact that they stunned them all. They didn't shoot them with just with regular blaster bolts.
Right. That's a good call too. Although they lose that etiquette in a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. Crosshair asks why they're escaping today, and Omega tells him that Nala Se told her that she had to escape and steal a shuttle. During their escape, they're sort of sneaking through the hallways. They overhear two stormtroopers say that the Emperor is visiting the facility. This increases Crosshair's annoyance and says this is another reason why today's the worst day to try to escape. So Omega, using the iPad, finds a shuttle, but realizes that all the shuttles are grounded except the Emperor's. Omega suggests they just steal the Emperor's shuttle, and Crosshair says no. Although I do want to watch that episode of Star Wars. Omega says that there's a crashed shuttle in the jungle. Maybe they can use that shuttle to send a signal to Hunter and Wrecker. Crosshair reluctantly agrees. So they have a beginnings of a plan, but not a plan to get off planet.
Mm-hmm.
So in the cloning lab, Hemlock is showing Palpatine clones. We can't see what they're looking at. Hemlock says with more resources, they will have a more successful M-count replication. Palpatine says whatever Hemlock needs, he will have it. We flash back to the lab, and Omega's sample is closer to being analyzed. So there's, I don't know if I skipped it in the notes or I just forgot to put it in here, but there's a whole thing where Hemlock says that they've quadrupled their efforts on the exotic cloning capabilities, and Palpatine says that he's interested in that, but the real project that he wants to know about is the other cloning effort, and then Hemlock name drops Necromancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, I think I just skipped that in the notes, but they're looking at Project Necromancer right now, and this room is wild. What'd you think of this room?
Yeah, I don't know how to describe it. Yeah, wild is, it seems like, I guess like a poor use of space, but I definitely like the, it, that's just, they're just like, looks like they're like these cloning tubes or whatever are just like in the ground, and like they're looking at one that's like come up off out of the ground. And at one point, Palpatine says that, like, what they're doing, some people would consider, I don't want to say blasphemous or like unnatural, but it kind of very similar to what he talked to Anakin about the dark side.
Yeah, he's doing the whole like the dark side is a pathway to many abilities that some would find unnatural sort
yeah.
of thing.
And he's just saying that, yeah, like many people in the scientific community would look at what we're doing as, I can't think of the term, but it was, I can't. Yeah,
scientists would call it unethical, but.
Yeah, but he said something else that was like, oh yeah. That
heretical is just, or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll get there too. All right, so we don't know what they're looking at in this lab, but this lab, I do want to talk about this facility. It looks like a Sith temple to me. It sort of looks like the temple on that Maul and Ezra go to.
Oh, yeah, and
I always forget the name. Malachor?
Malachor, yeah. Malachor. Yeah, because it's very, like, with black, with red accents.
Right, and so we can talk about it at the end, but I want you to think about this. Is one of these clones they're looking at Dathan? Dathan, for listeners who don't know, is Rey's father, who is a failed Palpatine clone who didn't have the Force. Think about it. We can talk about it in a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think it would be him. I think he was born on Mortis. Not born on Mortis. Exegol.
Okay. Well, we can talk about it. We gotta speculate who they're actually cloning here, because it might not be Palpatine yet. So Omega Samuel is about to be analyzed, or is getting closer to being analyzed. Emery shows up in Omega's quarters because she sent her there because she wasn't feeling well or thought she wasn't feeling well, and she's not there. Emery is frustrated. In the kennel, Omega and Crosshair shoot the droid, as it's been replaced or repaired, and they're planning on using one of the dog chutes to escape. I misspelled shoot, sorry. Emery shows up and tells Omega to return to her cell. Emery tries to reason with her. Omega asks Emery for help. Emery sets off an alarm and Crosshair stuns her. Omega and Crosshair go into the chute. Palpatine, back with Palpatine. Palpatine tells Hemlock that their work needs to remain secret and that Hemlock is brilliant. Hemlock asks for a promotion and Palpatine says to wait for his next quarterly performance review.
Yeah.
Pretty good management, Palpatine. Yeah. That's why you're the boss. Palpatine gets on his shuttle and flies off. The commando droids tell Hemlock that Crosshair and Omega have escaped through the kennel. Hemlock orders the shields put back up, but Omega and Crosshair outrun the shields and make it outside. This is sort of a nice action sequence. Once outside, Crosshair asks Omega where the crash shuttle is. She doesn't know, so Crosshair watches the Emperor's shuttle leaving and assumes that they all come in and out on the same flight path. So they head in that direction. It's now night out. And to add to the suspense, they are now in the dangerous jungle. They charge off into the jungle. Hemlock goes into the kennel and sees Emery passed out. She gets up and catches him up on the plot. He says to dispatch the patrols and release the hounds.
Release the hounds. Well, neighbor, I see you've got your running shoes on. That's a good thing.
The hounds charge off into the forest. Emery says the hounds will kill them, and Hemlock says, who cares? This is another moment where Emery is expressing some empathy / sympathy, and Hemlock just kicks her in the nuts. Hemlock says that Nala Se if she helped Omega escape. Nala Se, who this entire few episodes has basically been quite quitting her job, very effectively denies it and says that she's been with Hemlock all day.
Yeah.
Right. This is a very, like, how could I have done it? I'm just this helpless, like, scientist woman, and I was with you, the big boss, all day. Like, I'm as surprised as you. But Hemlock sends her to a cell as well.
Mm-hmm.
I like all of this.
Yeah. Yes, I think she knows that her days are numbered.
She knows exactly what's going to happen. She's going to succeed eventually, and they're going to kill her. But the whole quiet quitting is semi-serious joke, she's been doing her job very poorly. Mm-hmm. Like, she's been intentionally hiding whatever. We don't know what Omega is, but apparently Nala Se knows what Omega is, and Nala Se knows that Omega samples, whatever they did to Omega's clone, makes it compatible with midichlorians, and none of the other clones are. And so maybe we'll figure out more about Nala Se, or Nala Se and Omega, like what they actually did to her. Hemlock orders ships to take off to search for Crosshair and Omega. Shuttles fly out over the jungle. In the forest, Omega is picking up the ship, but the hounds are close on their tail. Omega trips and falls. Crosshair helps her up, but a gigantic jungle beast is closing in on them as they're about to get mauled by this giant bear jaguar thing. The hounds show up and start fighting the beast. Omega and Crosshair run for the crashed shuttle. Do you want to talk?
It's a really cool design.
It's called a Dryax, like a Dryax, and it is a cross between a bear and a panther.
Mm.
But the animation of it almost looks stop motion. Almost looks like a hairy, like, Hausen sort of monster from, like, Attack of the Titans. Did you get that at all?
No. But I guess I could see that.
Yeah, I thought that they didn't smooth the animation entirely, and I thought they were doing it intentionally, but maybe I'm overinterpreting it. All right, so they run for the crash shuttle. They make it inside, and Omega starts to power it up. Emery returns to the lab as ordered. The analyzer is still checking blood. Omega's blood has not been analyzed yet. On the shuttle, Omega reports that the comms are completely dead. They cannot get a signal out. Omega apologizes to Crosshair, but Crosshair says she got them this far, and they aren't done yet. Crosshair asks if she knows Plan 77. She says Tech made her memorize all of the plans. Crosshair replies, of course he did. This is probably the most genuine moment between Omega and Crosshair.
Mm-hmm.
Crosshair sees, like, tastes freedom, and he's like, and Omega's like, I screwed this up. And Crosshair's like, nope, we're good. Everything's fine. This is going to work. I love this. I think this is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Any comment here?
Mm-mm.
All right. So commandos are dropping from a shuttle to explore the wrecked ship, and Crosshair starts shooting at them. His aim is a bit off, but Omega goes to the repelling lines from the shuttle, and a stormtrooper tries to stop her. Batcher the Hound Dog attacks the stormtrooper, saving Omega, and she makes it on board the shuttle. She basically rides the cable back up. Omega stuns the pilot and takes control. Crosshair is still doing his best to deal with the commandos on the ground, but he's pinned down. Omega opens fire using the blasters on the shuttle. The commandos clear out and rescues Crosshair. And the commandos call in that their shuttle was hijacked. V-wings are scrambled from the base. Omega goes back and saves Batcher the Hound, and they start to escape into, like, the sky. They start to trying to make orbit at this point. Back at the lab, Omega's sample is starting to be analyzed. Emery notices that the sample is reacting differently. The V-Wings are firing on the shuttle. They're trying to get to orbit. Hemlock orders the ship shot down. Emery bursts into the control room and says not to shoot the ship down. The clone's sample showed a positive transfer without any M-count degradation. Hemlock says that Crosshair was ruled out months ago, and Emery says that she meant Omega. Hemlock calls off the attack. They let the shuttle go. Once the shuttle makes orbit, they jump into hyperspace. Hemlock says he has the full Empire at his disposal. He will find her.
Yeah.
The end. There's not a lot of trivia for this episode. I already talked about the Dryax and Project Necromancer, so let's just get right into it. Episode 3, your thoughts.
Oh, it's great. It was a great cap to the is the reason why we chose to do all of these at the same time instead of individually, because it's just a big sandwich. First one was bleak, then we see what Wrecker and Hunter are up to, and then Omega and Crosshair escape. Wow, we get a lot of, like, lore and some teases about what's going on. Yeah, but by the end, I'm just like, yeah, like, and like, I'm rooting for Crosshair. Don't normally root for Crosshair because it's just like, he just seemed like kind of like overpowered. Like, he never misses. It's like, that's great. But just seeing him be kind of like a regular person, and then him kind of coming back into his normal kick-ass self.
Him caring about Omega, and yeah, being recharged into his general self by the prospect of actually getting away was a huge transformative moment for him. I love this episode. I think it's the right mixture and the right arc of like shitty ray of hope, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why, one of the things I wanted to talk about here is, where does Omega go? Like, they probably just randomly jumped to get the hell out of there. They might not know where they are exactly.
Right.
Where does she go? Where is a place that Omega would go if she had to hide someplace?
Does she know about Pabu?
She was there.
Yeah. But
right?
Would she know how to get there?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. But I'm saying that Hunter and Wrecker are headed to Pabu, and now Omega and Crosshair are in the wind, right?
Mm-hmm.
They might find each other very fast.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing. Or at least for like maybe half the season, they're separated. Because of course they would put Crosshair, who's a bit of the curmudgeon and the asshole, with the kid, to kind of lighten him up a little bit. Because what fun would it be if she was just with Wrecker the entire time, or Hunter, one of the clones that really likes her. It has to be the dynamic with the clone that didn't like her, but now is starting to care for her as a.
Right. Right. So what's her motivation for the rest of the season? Right. Because now the hunt is on from Hemlock. Hemlock needs her to complete Project Necromancer, or to advance Project Necromancer. And now he's going to have to ask Nala to say why she never tested her blood. Right. But Hemlock has unlimited resources to hunt down and capture Omega. So is the plot that they're hiding from him, that they're trying to kill Hemlock, that they're trying to destroy Rescue Emery, that they're trying to destroy the lab, right? Because eventually the lab gets moved to Exegol. All of this stuff gets moved to Exegol. But I don't know what the plot is. But I think if you wanted to, you could link them back up immediately and make part of the plot like a Crosshair redemption arc, right? And an Omega reunion, right? I don't know where they go from here, but I think it's very possible that they find each other fast.
Mm-hmm.
And then we don't spend half a season waiting for them to reunite. But I'm also worried that they're going to kill Hunter or something like that, or kill Wrecker or Crosshair in this season. So we'll see what happens. I did send you a list of the Imperial projects that Jen Erso reads out in Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is called Mark Omega. So other ones in that list are Darksaber and Warmantle. These have been sort of described in other Star Wars media. Do you think Mark Omega is a search for Omega?
Possibly.
Because it would... if they're not wasting that list, right, there's still like Pax Aurora and a few other things that haven't been described, but Mark Omega would be a good opportunity to tie that into this. Still, that's still 10 years later or more, right? I guess it would be like 13 years later or 14 years later. But it doesn't mean that there wouldn't be a record of the search for Omega.
So I looked up what Palpatine says, and he says that many people would consider what they're doing an abomination. And I looked up Dathan's Wikipedia page. He was called known as this to the Sith Eternal as the Abomination. So
there we go.
It could be, or just in general, what they're doing. Is, but it says that he was born on Exegol, but
he could be in a pod tube on Tantus and then get moved to Exegol.
True.
I don't know. I'm not trying to fit, but we did say in our in our Clone Wars wrap-up episode, when we talked about what we wanted from Bad Batch, I said I wanted it to be explicit, that they're tying this to Rise of Skywalker. Episode 3 was a Rise of Skywalker lead-in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is Rise of Skywalker. This is justifying Rise of Skywalker, like a lot of stuff. Sort of like that book, Shadow of the Sith, I think. Like, this is doing a lot of lifting for Rise of Skywalker.
Right.
Very happy, by the way.
Yeah, so, I mean, if it's not, because we figured that it was, like, one of his clones, sort, but it could be something completely different.
So let's talk about if it's not a Palpatine clone, who are they trying to clone?
Ventress, possibly. Just a test subject, because, like, who gives a shit? Like, he's not going to care. And she gets fucked up. Or just, like, some random, like a Jedi. Somebody we wouldn't expect.
Right.
Like Mace Windu or something. Because they specifically didn't show it, but it just... Unless you've been, like, kind of, like, living under a Star Wars fan, and you're living in a cave and just completely clueless, they're putting everything together. So logic would state that, oh, it's a Palpatine clone, but it could very well not be. That could be their kind of, like, that could be a red herring.
Right. And in like the Heir of the Empire trilogy, they clone Seboeth, or however you want to say his name. And he doesn't know he's a clone, right? He's like a former Jedi. And so it could just, like you said, it could just be a random Jedi. I'm sort of hoping it's like a Ventress or something like that, to explain where she came from in the trailer. She could just be a clone that they're working with.
She might not even know that she was a clone.
Yeah, exactly. So she could be like the Seboeth of this continuity.
Yeah, that, like, the Ventress that we know and love from, like, Dark Disciple and Clone Wars was a clone, maybe.
Oh, that one was a clone.
Yeah.
That would be a big pill for the fandom to swallow, but I would buy it if they wrote it well.
Yeah, I mean, because they're going to have to make her seem like she's, like, herself. That means doing, like, an essence transfer or whatever it was that Palpatine did. So, I mean, so I don't know. I don't know about the whole Ventress thing, but I just have a feeling it's like a Jedi.
That I would love that. Like, if they wanted to bring I'm a Gonna D back.
Yeah, just throw everybody for a loop and just be like, what? That is some Jedi that everybody thinks are dead. Because, like, at the... the Inquisitor's Fortress, they have all those Jedi just in.
That's a good call. They still have all the bodies in, like, resin or whatever, in suspended mm-hmm. animation or formaldehyde or whatever. So they could use all of that as cloning substrates.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we get 12 more of these.
Yeah.
12 more of these episodes this season for a total of 15. So we'll do 12 more episodes. Is there anything you want to talk about this last three? Those first three, I mean?
No, my voice is getting kind of from the allergies.
Yeah, that's fine. We're at an hour 30. That's about what I wanted it to be. Do you want to do the rating real quick?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So now's the time in the show where we rate an episode, in this case three episodes. We rate by Star Wars characters. So a really great episode would be an original trilogy character, Darth Vader, Han, Luke, Leia, Chewie, etc. And it goes down from there. And then a really bad episode would just be a character that's just either just completely worthless and stupid, or just a character that if they just were just kind of Thanos snapped, whisked away out of Star Wars, we wouldn't even really know the difference. So, Matt, what is your rank?
I know you used this recently, but I'm going to give it a Rex.
Rex, yeah.
Rex is a really great top tier character for me, but this being the introduction to the final season of Bad Batch, I was mildly annoyed that they gave us 3 episodes to start, because I was like, how are we going to cover this? But they go together so well and set the tone properly for the season. Or at least they provide us with the tone for the season. I shouldn't say that it's appropriate, because I don't know what the season's going to be like. But I'm so excited, and I'm so happy right now. Yeah, I would say Rex. What did you give it?
I'm going to give this a Lando.
Nice.
Just because it just the... I mean, I found myself like rooting, kind of like at the end, just like at the end, like at the just. I mean, obviously, we're all rooting for like Crosshair and Omega, but just like the first episode showed them so low, and then the second or third episode showed them like escaping. That wasn't part of me was just like, oh God, is Crosshair gonna sacrifice himself so she can escape, or he gets shot or something like that? Because that would seem kind of like I don't want to say on brand, but kind of like how these sort of things usually go in entertainment. Just as soon as they're winning, there has to be a little kick in the seat of the pants. But just so like when they ended and as they both escaped, that was just like, for me, that was just like Lando showing up at the last minute for Rise of Skywalker, which there's a lot of things you can say about that movie. They're just kind of like, I don't know, not so great. But I think that's like one of the top Star Wars moments, just where all the ships show up and you're just like, yes.
Yeah, agreed. I think I love that moment too. And I think it's a great moment for that movie and that sequel trilogy as a whole. It's a great pick.
Cool. All right. So let's wrap this up. You going to do the D20, or are we just going to skip that?
Not for these, because we're going to have a hard enough time keeping up with it without the chaos factor.
Right.
We'll get back to, we're going to do these as quickly as we can. And then when we're done, we'll talk about what we do next, but whatever we do next will likely be a D20 chaos factor in that. But next week we'll definitely be reviewing the next episode of Bad Batch, which is called A Different Approach, which premieres in 4 hours.
Oof. All right. Cool. All right. Well, let me play the outro then.
Thank you for downloading and listening to this episode. We would also like to thank Jordan White for the use of his cover of Yub Nub as our intro and outro music. Please refer to the show notes for photos, clips, and links from this episode. Side effects from listening to Yubcast may include dizziness, dry mouth, a sense of confusion, and decreased sex drive. Serious side effects may include speaking in Ewok, speculating the origins of prequel characters, and wondering why 2 grown men discuss children's cartoons on the internet. For a complete list of side effects or to complain about the show, please visit us on Twitter at Yubcast or drop us an email at NoochVaderProductions@gmail.com. Thanks again. We will see you again next week with a new episode. Yubcast is not affiliated with Lucasfilm or the Walt Disney Company. Star Wars, its characters, and creations are the property of Lucasfilm and its parent company, the Walt Disney Company. Yubcast is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. Da 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 da